Good job. Give yourself a round of applause. Good job. All right. We're going to look at our Bible in Luke chapter 2. But, you know, I did that silly exercise because we sing praise and worship. We sing hymns. But we're looking tonight in Luke chapter 2 and verse 13. And this is interesting to me for a lot of reasons. We've been talking about the light of the world. And we have talked about how so many of us look out into the world and we see how dark the world is, that the world is in darkness. And we know that the darkness comprehended not Jesus Christ, the lighter. We said that that means arrested or apprehended. It has not overtaken. The darkness cannot overtake the light. But we see on this silent night in Luke chapter 2 and verse 13 that it's a very dark and silent night, but the angels come and interrupt it. And how do the angels come and interrupt it? The angels come and interrupt this silent night with this praising of God, literally a song, what we literally call or sing out when we sing Gloria in Excelsis Deo. They literally are saying that, and we get this in our Bible's vernacular. That's exactly what we're saying. They're singing this song, and the shepherds hear this while they're abiding in the field. And it's so important for us, as we've seen throughout this series, that we are the light of the world. And being a part of the light of the world, not everyone has to sing, not everybody has to announce it, but I will say this to you, that our preaching of the Word of God is so important. It's the most imperative thing, correct? But do you realize that many people come to Christ or come to an understanding or come close to Christ every single day because of song? Because of song. I don't necessarily like K-Love, but there are some good, positive, encouraging Christian songs, and there's other ones that are just stupid, right? But why do churches sing songs? Because it helps. It brings us into a place of worship. It gets our hearts right with God. But it also, sometimes I tell the choir this all the time, when you're singing for the glory of God, we're doing this, and that's helping people that they're hearing. We sing good biblical songs. We sing songs that have good doctrine. And when we do that, it may be helping someone out there. And they know I say this all the time. We'll go on our break until February now, after next week. But service is just different when the choir sings. And it's biblical to have this choir, and it's biblical to have these song leaders and these different things. And so it's important to us. But I want to look at this tonight, and the reason why we sang that song is because never be afraid to use your voice to praise the Lord. Amen. Never be afraid. God gave you an instrument, and some of your instrument and my instrument is not the prettiest of instruments, but it's still an instrument. It can still be used to the glory of God. So we look in Luke chapter 2 and verse 13 tonight. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The angels brought these good tidings. It literally means they preached the gospel. But according to the Bible, they did this through this proclamation. And when you look at this, the heavenly host praising God, it literally means they're singing out, that it's more than just spoken word. It's some melody, I'm not sure that there was any harmony. I'm not sure that you guys got any harmony tonight. But there was some praising that came out in song. In heaven, we understand through the Bible that there are these cryings out, this angelic host are crying out. They're literally singing. It's psalmist type of stuff that's going on. And so we can take a few notes from these angels tonight. But also, I want to just look at this because it's important. The light of the world, remember we said that the light has shined to every man this morning? And that people don't comprehend it, people may reject it, but it shined everywhere. Christian, let me remind you something. I think this is a good time of year to do this. The shepherds had a bad reputation. They were not legally allowed to give testimony in a court of law because people looked down on them. It's like in our culture today, a felon, we would say that's not a credible witness. And so the shepherds weren't a credible witness. They were the scourge of society. But I want you to see that Jesus Christ, being God in flesh, and his Father sent him, and the first people that he proclaimed this to are the dregs of society. And sometimes we like to be light to people around us who are more like us or more similar or where we feel the safest. But Jesus Christ came as helpless babe. And the first people this was announced to was not kings, was not politicians, was not rich people. It was lowly, poor shepherds who had been displaced. Don't you be afraid. Now listen, don't put yourself in harm's way. But I don't care for the drug addict. I don't care for the homeless. I don't care for the hurting, the dying. Listen, every single person, the light has shined, the Bible says, and we need to preach the gospel to all of them. Romans 5:8, you know the verses, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's without regard of wealth. It's without regard of who you are or where you're from. He died for all, and all can be saved only through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And here the Bible proves that God did not send these angels. He could have sent the angels to talk to anybody, to sing this song to anybody, but he sent it to these lowly shepherds. How do we bring our light everywhere to everyone? I think that we just do like the angels did. They passed here this. This is a great verse of the Bible because we see it just for Christmas. But do you realize here the angels passed the job of proclaiming the gospel to us here? He gives it to shepherds here. But from this time, if you know your Bible, from this time, Dr. Luke tells us about how John the Baptist is the forerunner, but he's still a baby. He's just 6 months older than Jesus. But here come these angels, and at that moment, we sing this. The little kids sang it this morning. Now, the next thing that the angels, they tell them to do this, they tell them to sing this, and the next thing that the shepherds do is go tell it on the mountain. They are literally the first preachers of the gospel that Jesus Christ has come into humanity to save the world. They passed the torch there from the angels saying these things, from the angels proclaiming this. Because what did the Old Testament have? The Old Testament had prophets that would proclaim the coming of Messiah. But at this point, there's been 400 years of intertestamental period where no prophet has come, no preacher has come. God has been completely silent to Israel. And now the angels proclaim in this miraculous way, and the shepherds go immediately after abiding in the field with their flocks to go tell everyone, to shine the light that they had just seen, that Jesus Christ has come into the world. So we look tonight of the passing of the torch to the New Testament believer of the light of the world, and we see, number one, what did the angels do? The angels simply said, very, very simply, in verse 14, glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. It's literally the Greek word doxa, which means honor or praise or worship. When you combine that with logos, we understood that in the beginning was the word, or the logos, that when you combine that, that's where we get the doxology. And so that old traditional doxology that we have, praise God from whom all blessings flow, praise him all creatures here below, praise him above ye heavenly hosts, praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. And so you'll get that in the high hymns of churches. But listen, this is the doxology that they're telling us here. To praise the incarnate word, glory to God in the highest. And our responsibility in shining the light is to glorify God in all things. And so when we sing that song tonight, he has done marvelous things. It's our responsibility to tell the world that he's done marvelous things. Now listen to me. This is just the sermon series, The Light of the World, but here at Christmas time, we'll have a lot of light in our life and we'll pass a lot of light to people, but this is a convicting thought for all. But will you shed more light or get more light on the presence you get and the time you spend with your family, or will more light be shined on who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for you? 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. That's a convicting verse to me. Sometimes I have to ask myself, is everything I'm doing for the glory of God? Is everything that I do for the glory of God? Every action that I make, every bit of conversation that I have, is that to, if I got my Bible right, it says, whatsoever you do. In everything, we ought to praise the Lord. And not just praise the Lord, but do it in such a fashion that everybody else around us, because in him was life, and that life was the light of men. And we understood from Matthew 5:16, we'll see it again, let your light so shine before men. Remember we said, that's not about your good works, that's about the righteousness of God that's in you, shining before everyone else, so they might be able to come to him. 1 Corinthians 6:20, this is why. For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I don't want you to look at it now. But most of you that have a smartphone, I'm not really sure how Apple works, but I'm sure you probably can. But on my phone, I can look at my phone and see how many hours or minutes I've spent on my phone in a day. And I would say to you, as we near the end of the year, if you look at that and you've spent more time on your phone, and people will say, well, I'm on my phone, but I'm in my Bible app. Okay, fine. If you spent more time on frivolous things in your phone than you have in the Word of God, you're doing it all wrong. That's not glorifying God. I was telling Brother Brandon the other day, you know, I've used it as an illustration. When I was very early in my Christianity, one of the things that convicted me was, at that point in my life, and still today, what I liked, I could name all starting nine of the Cincinnati Reds. I could name every single player. I can still do this. I can name every single starter on the Cincinnati Bengals, no matter how terrible they are. I can tell you what college they went to. I can probably tell you some of their 40 times and some of their statistics. And when I was a very young man, when I was newly saved, I said, I can do all that, but I don't know basic things about my Bible. And when I decided that I wanted to flip that on its head, and that I wanted to know more about the Word of God, because we spend our time where we choose to spend our time. And so people say, well, I don't know how he can memorize those verses. How does he know so much? Because, listen, when you put work into it, people can remember all kinds of things. Frivolous nonsense, people can remember. Because what you like, you'll put your time into. And there came a time in my life where I decided I'm going to put my time into studying the Word of God. And I would encourage you to really glorify God, because you're bought with a price. You need to decide for yourself. Do I choose God over everything else? Do I choose God over all the things of the world? Do I choose God over playing games on my phone or looking at Facebook? Or do I choose God over looking and reading stories about this or that? It's sad to me that most Christians, most conservative, independent Baptists, or just right-wing type Christians know more about politics than they do about their Bible. And I got news for you. No politician is coming to save you, nor can they. But the one that, it says, glory in excelsis Deo. It says, glorify God in the highest, literally what it means. So why are we glorifying anything else? You can get mad at me if you want to say this, because I thought about this for the new year, but I realized people would get mad at me. And I realized some people would cheer for it. But, you know, I thought about, you know, 2026, what if we had some tagline? What if we all got MAGA hats, but it was make ABC great again? I say some people would try to shoot me. Some people would be all for it. I was like, maybe we ought not do that. But you know what? I see a lot of Christians that wear a MAGA hat, but they'll never read their Bible. And they'll never say anything about Jesus Christ. They're too afraid to say something about how good God is. And that's sickening, and that's disgusting, and you better get it right. Because one day you will meet your maker, and you'll get no credit for wearing a MAGA hat. Right, wrong, or indifferent. I don't really care. I'm not political in that sense. I'm just telling you, what you like. So these shepherds see this glorious thing, but man, I've seen a glorious sign. When Jesus Christ saved me, something glorious happened inside of me. And when that happened from that day forward, shouldn't it be that that his praise is found on our lips continually? But then the second thing that they do is they say, we want to glorify God in the highest, bring glory to God, but bring peace to God. Or bring peace to the world. Look at this. There's an ancient writer in the first century. He was a pagan, and he wrote, while the emperor may give peace from war on land and sea, he is unable to give peace from passion, grief, and envy. He cannot give peace of heart, for which man yearns for more than even outward peace. I heard another person say, let God have all the glory so we may have all the peace. Romans 3, 23 through 26, you know this first verse. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath sent forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. The propitiation is such a great word. I usually say wrath settler to make it make sense to everybody. But the root of the word propitiation is this atonement, this peace giver. It's literally, if you looked at it and translated it from Greek to Hebrew, it's literally means the lid of the Ark of the Covenant. It's the mercy seat. It's where God doesn't have to do anything, where you didn't deserve it, but God did it anyway. And when Jesus, being the propitiation, he is that peace. And so for us to bring peace on earth, you can try to bring peace through war. You can try to bring peace through tariffs. You can try to bring peace through being nice. You can be like the amillennialists and believe that the church is going to bring ultimate peace because we're just going to be so good. But the truth of the word of God is without Jesus Christ, there is no peace. Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Listen, only the supreme ruler is able to give supreme peace because he does not just contain peace. Remember we said he doesn't just contain life. He doesn't just contain light, that he is life, that he is light. Jesus doesn't just contain peace. He is peace. The Prince of Peace is not just a title. It's who he is. It's his very being. We are to bring peace. The angel said, peace, peace. On earth, we want peace. People say, well, what is one of the things that we say, that people say, this is the old pageant thought. What would you like to do? I'd like to bring world peace. Sit down, Susan. It's just not going to happen. How do we do that? By telling people who the propitiation for their sin is. And every person that we lead to Christ has now found eternal peace with God. The only kind of true rest you can have. There may be wars, there may be fightings, there may be famines, but if you are saved, you have total peace with God. He is our peace. Look at Ephesians 2:14. He's not just contains peace, he is our peace. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. He is our peace, isn't he? I have no peace aside from Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, I'll go one step further. I have nothing but chaos and drama without Jesus Christ. If it wasn't for Jesus in my life, I would be a complete wreck. Maybe you're better than me, but me personally, I'd be a complete wreck without the peace that Jesus Christ has brought into my life, being the propitiation. If I didn't know that when I died I was going to heaven, this earth would be a lot harder to bear. If I didn't know that while I was here, he says, I leave my peace with you. If I didn't know that his peace was with me, peace of mind doesn't do me any good because you get peace of mind for a little bit. My grandma used to say this to me. You old country people get this. She said, baby, you're either headed into a storm, in the middle of a storm, or coming out of a storm. There's only three things in life. Everybody here is either in the midst of a storm, you just came out of one, or you're headed into one. And without Jesus, that'd be a miserable existence. But even in the midst of the storm, or even knowing that I'm about to head into a storm, or even coming out of the storm, I know that the peace that I have is through the incarnate Son of God and him alone. I'm not going to talk about it a whole lot, but this time of year is, I hope nobody drums up like bad thoughts and feelings, but this can be a very not peaceful time of year. You got to go see your family you don't like. Like there's Uncle Larry over there, and you don't want to be there with Uncle Larry. You don't like that fool. Some of you are like, oh. Some of you got to host it, and you're like, all them people, they're going to bring all them kids in my house. They don't act right. They don't use no napkins or nothing, no coasters. Some of you got to go to 37 different family gatherings, and you're like, oh, You're tired. The kids are upset. They're tired. It never fails. The kids get car sick or they get the flu. Holiday season, that's what happens, isn't it? Some of y'all just came out of that storm. Your kids were sick and you're like, we got to drive. Now you got crying kids. There's just no peace. You're trying to go to sleep, and I don't know about you, my oldest son, we called him the rooster, but me and Brother Brandon were talking about this other day. Like, why are you up at 5 in the morning? You don't got no job. Why are you looking at me? And then the audacity, when it's time for bed, you're fighting sleep. Like, this time of year, when my kids were that little, I say, do you like heat? Do you like warmth? Because like, you're about to sleep outside. You know what I'm talking about? Like, can't get no peace. Can't this be a very hard time of year? It can almost be overwhelming. And then we have these ridiculous expectations we put on ourselves. I wonder if they're going to like their gifts. I got some good news for you. Let me help you with all this. Who cares? They didn't have to get anything. I wonder if Johnny's going to like it. Johnny ain't got no job. You better put that over there and play with that. Get one out of my way. I say, I hear parents. I hear husbands. I wonder, you know, I've got to get something for my wife. Then we're just trying to outdo what we did last year or something like that. Man, there's no peace in that. But there's peace not in Jesus. There's peace from Jesus. Because Jesus is peace. And the only way that you can have that, because he is the ultimate wrath settler, he's the ultimate peace. Then it says this, they say, and goodwill toward men. How do we bring goodwill toward men? Goodwill toward men, if you look at that, it means to bring kindness, to bring giving, to bring forgiving, to bring compassion, to bring love to others, even our enemies. And bringing this kind of goodwill leads to a peaceful existence. I believe that the second great command, Jesus says, is love thy neighbor as thyself. And I've told you before, if we got that, if every Christian got that, then the churches of God would be completely unified. If we truly got that, I don't even care denomination, I'm not even talking about that. If every individual Christian understood what it was to love our neighbor as ourself, the world, the end result would be a sort of world peace, because we're the light of the world. Remember I said this the other day, that the Bible says darkness is not comprehended. It means darkness can't overcome it. Remember I showed you the verses that even Satan marvel not, that even Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. He's trying to overcome darkness, but John chapter 1 says that he can't overcome it, that he cannot overcome darkness. It's impossible. That's why greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If you were with me Wednesday, you saw that. So watch this. So here's the truth of the Bible. If the church, if the bride of Christ, if the light of the world, a city on the hill that cannot be hid, got this, the world would be a complete peace. Now that's ultimately what an amillennialist believes, that there's no 1,000-year reign of Christ. It's not biblical, but that's what they believe, because they believe the church just gets so good that we're so light that everybody gets saved. But the Bible says Jesus comes with a rod of iron and he's going to bend everybody to his will. But that's what they believe. And they're right if that would happen. Unfortunately, most Christians aren't shining their light the way they should. And I don't want you to feel sorry for me, because when I was about 7 years old, my dad got a really good job. And for the rest of my life, we were upper middle class, and I lived a good existence. But when I was a real little kid, we lived in the hood. Now, Wilmington, Ohio is not a big place, and so it's not like the slums of, you know, some big city. But in that town, we lived in the hood, and we were very poor. And anybody that was poor back in the 80s like me, you had the big white can of peanut butter, you know what I'm talking about, and government cheese, and you understand what I'm talking about. And if you don't, that's okay, good for you. But I remember this one time, and I don't want you to think my parents were nasty or whatever, they were just poor, okay, and they were country people. And I remember one year, we got this little Charlie Brown looking tree. My mom liked a lot of live trees, and my dad wasn't too big into it. My dad's birthday is December 6th, and we weren't allowed to put a Christmas tree up until after his birthday. He's like, I want my time, right? And so that was just like what we did. But remember, we got this little raggedy tree, and it wasn't like these pre-lit trees now, and the lights weren't like they were now. You know, the bulbs were as big as my head, you know what I'm talking about? And I remember they didn't light up. And my dad, not now so much, but back then, was just very hot-headed, and he just wasn't going to Kmart. The young people don't know what Kmart is. Old people, you know what I'm talking about. He wasn't going to Kmart to get any more lights. He's like, well, I guess we're just not going to have no lights. And My sister, she's 2 years older than me, so I must have been 5 or 6, but I can remember this vividly. So my sister was 7 or 8. I think I was in kindergarten, which make her in second grade. My sister heard at school that you could string popcorn together and put that on the tree. Now, my mom was at that time babysitting the home. She was a homemaker. My dad was at work. And so her and my sister, they, you know, put this popcorn, these strings together, and they hung it. And my dad came home and said, "Oh, yeah, that's nice. I ain't getting no more lights. We don't got money for that." And so this, you know, popcorn, whatever. But what happened was the next day we had some visitors. I can remember this. I can remember my dad on the phone with his dad and them taking care of it. I don't even know how they took care of it. But the next day we had a when the lights came on, we saw bugs scatter. Now I realize those was Christmas roaches. You know what I'm talking about? I know what I didn't know then. I said, "It's the holidays. Those are my pets." My dad took that tree out, threw that tree outside. He said, "Don't bring no more popcorn, put on this tree." You know, I bring that up because it can be real dark. We can get so upset about the dumbest things, can't we? Who cares if we don't have lights on our tree? We don't need to put popcorn. We don't need to add anything to it. We don't need to do anything because that's not the purpose of Christmas. That's not the point of Christmas. The light of the world, we've been going through this, and I realize some of you haven't been with us, but all these were Sunday morning messages, but I had to compact them from being there at the hospital. But if you've been with us at all, and even if you haven't, understand this. The light of the world, Jesus Christ, we'll go back to John 1 in just a moment. Jesus, he says, if we're really going to bring light, we have to bring goodwill toward men. As Christians, we got to be kind, loving, compassionate. He told the apostles, "You want the multitude to go away. Are you going to send down fire from heaven? Because you have no compassion." But we are to be compassionate, loving even our enemies. Jesus in Matthew 5, 7 through 9, watch this. "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." But watch this. We talked about the latter verses in a moment. So here's Jesus in the same sermon, in the same setting. He says, this is what it looks like to bring goodwill towards men. But who is he specifically talking to? Remember we talked about he's talking to the bride. He's talking to the church. And so in verse 13, it says, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men." If you're a Christian and you're not doing the job that you're supposed to be doing, the Bible literally says you're good for nothing. I like basketball. Brother Cam likes basketball. Don't you hate a dude that's just 6'8" and they can't make layups? Isn't that the worst? You ever play with a dude that's like 6'8", 6'9", and you're like, you're just big for nothing. You can't rebound. You can't dunk, you 6'9". Man, are you kidding me? You are sorry. And you know, guys like us, I'm like 6'3½", but I be saying to people, this isn't true at all. Man, if I was 6'9", I'd be in the league. Y'all would see me on TV. If I was 6'9", I wouldn't even be no preacher because I'd have been on the Lakers. It's not true. I'm not good enough. But still, you just see somebody like, you're just big for nothing. Man, what about you, Christian? This is the purpose you were created, to be the light of the world. And these little shepherds, they realized to go out and say, go tell on the mountain. But most of us, literally, we're supposed to be the salt, but it's lost its savor. It doesn't have any saltiness to it. It has no flavor. It's not doing the purpose. You've heard me say it before, but I finally convinced her for Thanksgiving, and then I wasn't there, but we don't own salt in my house because my wife, I've had high blood pressure since I was a kid, and my wife was like, no. And so she gets like Mrs. Dash, like fake salt. And I'd be like, how can you fake salt? It's salt. This is like on the periodic table of elements. Like this is like from the earth. How are you going to make a substitute for that? But that's what it is. And we don't even get Mrs. Dash. We get like the Kroger version. You know what I'm talking about? Like we got ghetto substitute salt. And she'd be like, well, you can use all that you want. That ain't so bad. I'm like, but right now we got the real thing at my house. And I hid it so she won't throw it away. Now she's over there in Awana. Don't tell her. If somebody tells her, you're a snitch. Snitches get stitches. And I'll find out. But listen, so I got it hidden because a little sprinkle here. I made some eggs the other day. I said, put it back up high. She can't see it. I say, this is so good. Oh, I can tell the difference between salt and substitute. You think Jesus, the creator of the world, can't tell the difference between your fake Christianity, your fake showing of light? He can tell who's really salt and who's just a substitute. He can tell you just show up to church because that's your obligation, that's your duty. You just sing the song, but you will never go home and pray. You're a bad person, you're nasty, you're trifling, you don't do the right things. God knows who's the authentic thing and who's just substitute. But he says, Jesus says, because Jesus is loving, he goes on to say something really nice. In verse 14, he says, but you are the light of the world. I like that. Oh, come on now. You know how awesome this verse is? You're the light of the world. Don't act like you don't like to be the center of attention. You like, some people, I'm just humble. No, you like when people tell you that you look nice. Stop it. Don't be false in your humility. Somebody came up to you and said, oh, I like your hair. He said, no. Say, I like your shirt. This old thing. Just say thank you. But then, I thought about you when I thought about this. Yeah, you'll like this. You know what I found out about old guys? I don't ask them how they're doing no more. I just say hello. But if you say hello, how you doing? They gonna tell you. Well, my back hurts. Well, the other day I was over there and my daughter, she wasn't acting right, and so her and her husband broke up, and now she lives with us. And then I went over, and my cousin, he was talking to me, and something happened to him. He lost his job, and now he stays with us. We had a cat, and the cat has baby. She had 9 babies, and now the cat and all her kids are staying with us. They're going to tell you everything you didn't ask for. You know what I'm talking about? Amen. Now listen to me. Just stay with me. Stay with me. We are in the spotlight, God says. You know, we have these lights here that I absolutely detest, right? But they're everywhere. When I was doing revival in Savannah, I wear these blue light blockers, but they don't know that they're blue light blockers. You guys have heard me say it before. Like right now, I'm light sensitive. I got these spots. So I was in Savannah. The staff guys, we went to lunch. They said, what do you wear glasses for? Because you took them off when you read. He's like, you were looking out, then you put them on one time when you read. And I said, oh, yeah, they don't do nothing. They're just blue light blockers. I said, but I've gotten so used to wearing them now. I said, now it's like I'm making points with them. It just looks cool. I they don't do absolutely nothing. I was like, here, you guys want to see it? And they're like, what in the world? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, look, Lorenzo, look, Austin. They don't do jack. I'm just so used to preaching with them now, like I feel like naked without them. You know what I mean? Like I got to have them. They do absolutely nothing. On Wednesday nights when I'm down there, I never have them because I'm not up here. But when I'm up here and they're like, what is that for? But you know what? They're good for nothing. Look through those, Aiden. See, I don't care if they break. They're $2. Go ahead. Grab. We'll look through there. They're $2. I don't care. I got plenty of them. Look through there. No, look through there. Tell me, does it make your vision any better? Does it make them any worse? You know, some of these people in this church, don't ever put any of these old people's glasses on. It will blind you. You put them on, their eyes are so bad. Pastor's vision is 20/20. My eye doctor is amazed. He's like, I can't believe you're almost 44. Your eyes are completely perfect. And then they say, why do you wear glasses? I don't. They're good for nothing. They say, yeah, they might be blocking light. I don't even know if blue light blockers work. I'm not really sure they work. In my mind, they work. Like, the next best thing, I guess, is like, I really can't wear sunglasses up here. I don't want to be that kind of preacher. You know what I mean? But can I say this to you? I told you I feel naked. Give them back to me, boy. Now, what's wrong with you now? You know what's crazy? A lot of Christians are just this. Look like a Christian. See, these look like glasses. They couldn't tell. They look like prescription. Look like they're doing something. But they're good for nothing. But Jesus says, you're in the spotlight. That's not who you are. Ye are the light of the world, a city on a hill that cannot be hid. He said, it's impossible if you'll let your light shine. See, because in verse 16, he's going to say, let your light so shine. If you don't block your blessing, then it's going to be out there praising. Everybody's going to see it. Don't block your blessing. Ye are the salt of the earth. Ye are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel or this bowl, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in their house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. A lot of people, we talked about this, let their light shine so people can see how awesome you are. But Jesus says, let your light so shine so that they can see how good he is. Amen. Can I tell you that this is important for us? To understand what the angels did. The angels, remember who the angels are. These angels that kept their first estate, not these wicked angels that went with Satan, but the angels that are in heaven today, all they understand and all they know, they don't understand being redeemed from sin. Because they're just a created being that doesn't have that sin, right? They can't sing the song of the redeemed. And so they've lived in heaven, and all they know is the glory of God. And when you're programmed, they're not robots, but when you're programmed, all they can do is talk about his glory because they don't got nothing else to talk about. But here Jesus says to us, but you're the light of the world. You're not like the angels. You're not programmed. You have an option. He says, but Jesus is not much nicer than me. But what he says in those verses is, but smart people don't buy a whole bunch of lights and then cover them up. Anybody seen any pretty Christmas lights this year? Now, I don't, I'm afraid of heights, so I'm not going to put a whole bunch of Christmas lights up. Now, I realize some of you been in my house, you realize that I could like jump on top of my roof. But anything over 8 feet is too tall for me. Okay, now listen. That's the only reason I don't dunk no more, because I'm afraid of heights. Otherwise, that's a lie. My whole knees will crumble in half. I just tried to jump one time. Just my whole right side just be down. But listen, here's the key. We have all these beautiful Christmas lights right now. And I suppose the reason why people would take time and effort to buy and put those up is so that they could be seen. Remember we talked about that verse that you're bought with a price? I suppose that if Jesus says what he says in Matthew 5 and it tells us that we're bought with a price, which is the price of Jesus' life, that I suppose that if we're the light that he says, why would he purchase them and you never light them up? Right. Only time people don't really have lights, it's not because they didn't want it, it's because they didn't pay their bill. But Jesus paid it all. So how foolish is it to have the ability to shine lights all day that didn't cost you a thing, that was a free gift? You could shine it all the time, but you shut them off. And the reason why you shut them off is because you decided that it's not the light of him that's shining in you and through you. Look at John chapter 1. But that you want to be the star of the show. Look at John chapter 1. It's not on your screen because I wanted you to use your physical Bible for this one. If you don't carry your physical Bible to church, do that. It's good for you. And if you need a Bible, see me and I'll get you one. Could I say to you today that the Bible is the greatest thing that I've ever had the pleasure of being able to read and touch and handle, the living Word of God? I'd be lost if I didn't have this. I got saved. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the... If I didn't have that, I'd have no peace. If I didn't have that, I wouldn't be anybody's light. But go back with me. Go back with me to verse 4, John chapter 1, verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Remember we talked about that word life is the word Zoe, that it's an eternal life that only God, it's a divine life. It's not just any type of life. It's a divine life. It's something that only God can provide. The church can't provide it. Theology can't provide it. Bible college can't provide it. No matter how much you read your Bible, it can't provide it. It has to come from God. He says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light, because see, watch this. His life is the light of men. It means that it's supposed to be shining. One of the greatest inventions that ever happened is the cell phone flashlight. And you know what I love about the cell phone flashlight? A lot of times people walk around and their pants are shining. Like, hey, dog, your flashlight's on. Oh, my bad. My old phone, Tavea's phone, does it. When you do like this, the light comes on. And so sometimes I'd be on the treadmill, I'd be getting it, and my light's just on. They're like, sir, your light's on. I'm like, let's let my light shine. Shut up. Yeah. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Christian, the reason why the world is so dark is because Christians aren't allowing their light to shine the way Jesus intended it. Why do you think he said, let your light so shine? He says, you don't have to, but if you do, it'll glorify your Father in heaven. I want to read this kind of poem, this quote by Marianne Williamson, because most Christians, it's not just a witnessing thing, it's a lifestyle. It is telling people about Jesus. It is singing that song, not being ashamed of the gospel of Christ, but it's just a poem with quotations that I like that sometimes I recite to myself. Because most Christians, the reason why they don't shine their light, if you ask them, most people who really believe, it's not because they want to be worthless. It's not because they don't want to be good for anything. It's because they're afraid. It's because they fear. And you know, the shepherds were afraid. And the angel said, fear not. Joseph and Mary were afraid. And the angel said, fear not. Now, in the book of Revelation, pastors are called angels. I'm nobody's angel, but I'm the messenger. Could I give you this message tonight that you don't have to be afraid to let your light so shine? Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, and fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There's nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our light, own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. The context of that is this. When we will get over our fear to shine our light, it liberates others to be able to have the same peace that we have. I encourage you, the light of the world, as we continue in this series, two more messages from this. Don't put your light out or cover your light up. Sometimes people say, well, I don't want to be a Bible thumper. I don't. You know what that poem said? It said, don't dim your light because other people don't want to get it. No, shine your light in the darkness. If they don't get it, that's on them. But don't you turn yourself down from being fabulous and gorgeous and who God created you to be because somebody else got mad. You be who God intended you to be. You be exactly what God called for you to be, for ye are bought with a price. Final illustration, I'm finished. They don't do it now because they're older, but you know what used to really make me mad with my kids? When I bought some expensive gift and they broke it, or they played with it for a week and then it was done. You've heard me say from the pulpit, because I learned this, them kids don't need them toys. They got enough toys. And you say, well, I'm going to get them some toys this year. Listen, that's cool, but just remind, they don't need the toys. Man, I'm like, my wife, she did it differently. She's like, that's okay, they're just babies. I'm like, that costs $37. And then he's playing with the box when he's just a baby. No, like, that's $37. My boys was little during the recession. You know what I'm talking about? Xavier had the audacity. He's like, you know, they say that right now is the hardest time to raise kids. I said, well, first of all, you and your little knucklehead brother was living in the recession. Savea was born that year, and I'm still raising kids. Because I was too dumb to stop, and I had another one, I guess. She's right there. We're going to jail because PETA's going to get us. I don't even know where she got that from. PETA's coming after us. You got on somebody's chinchilla or mink or something. And then we're going to jail tonight, Jalise. And I'm the adult. You're just going to juvie, and I'm going to big jail. You got any friends still down there when you was locked up? Oh, listen. You're bought with a price. And the price that Jesus paid was to be able to have you use that free gift of salvation to shed your light, to open the door for others to be able to enjoy it as well. Let's go to the Lord and pray. Heavenly Father, grateful for the day we've had. Good to have one come and join in membership this morning. Great opportunity that we had today to spread light through our Christmas cantata. Kids did a wonderful job, the teens and all the adult choir and singers and everybody that had part, Lord. Just what a blessing. Father, now we turn our attention to the gospel, which is the true light. As we shed light on the word of God tonight, the music will begin to play. And if you're in this room and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you'll have an opportunity even now. Jesus came to the earth to seek and to save that which was lost. He was born of a virgin, lived a sinless and perfect life to fulfill the law and the prophets because no one else could. And he, being found in fashion of a man, humbled himself and took on him the form of a servant. And in doing that, even though he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, he was born lowly in a manger and took on and dealt with all temptation and all trials such as common to man. And so he becomes the perfect and only substitutionary vicarious sacrifice for the sins of all mankind, because we celebrate Christmas because he became a kinsman redeemer. Have you been redeemed? Are you renewed and regenerated through the power of the Holy Spirit? As many as are led by the Spirit, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. Maybe it's you tonight. You just need to receive the free gift of salvation by believing not, as we said this morning, intellectually, but effectually. Not just knowing there's a God, that won't save you, but believing so strongly that you're ready to place your faith in him and him alone, in Christ Jesus and his finished work on Calvary's cross, and that and that alone is why you can be saved and know it. Have peace today. Christian, what about you? Are you bringing glory to God in your life with your lips? Are you bringing peace on earth? Are you bringing this wonderful goodwill towards men that will shine the gospel light so that they might glorify your Father which is in heaven as well? Tonight, if you need to come and you say, Pastor, I want to be saved, I have questions, and there's no singing tonight, you just come. If you want to come tonight and pray at the altar for whatever it is, pray that you can be a brighter light. Remember we said this, darkness can't get more dark, but light can get lighter. Maybe that's you tonight. Whatever it might be, Lord, have your way and your will. In Jesus' name, amen.